All right, welcome to Look at My Records. Really thrilled for this. It's November 30th today, people.
It is.
And I'm here with Jess Adams and Janik
Zechner.
Zechner.
Zechner, yes. It's an odd last name. I don't expect anybody to pronounce it.
Where are you from, Janik, originally?
Germany.
Germany, awesome.
Yeah.
It's, there's like a little fancy Y to his name. It's like Janik.
It's beautiful,
man. Right? Isn't it?
Beautiful, man.
It forces you to say it with flair. It's a which is exactly who he is.
Jess Adams and Janik
Zechner.
It's a good collaboration.
Yeah, it's very names. Something very palatable and approachable. They're like, I've heard all of this before, and then you get to Janik Zechner, and they're like, I was tricked.
I was wrong.
I did not know.
I entered this sentence with comfort that should not have been there.
You guys have been tricking people over the course of your. Yeah. Musical partnership.
Like 5 years now. Mm-hmm.
You guys are
fooling them.
Tricksters.
It's good cop, bad cop.
Damn. So tell me about this project. Jess, you're a wonderful poet. I've been reading your poetry on your Instagram.
Thank you.
Very intimate and well done. You're from Nashville. You live here in New York City now, Janik. How'd this collaboration start musically?
Well, we were in Boston, and we both were at Berkeley at the same time, and we took a, it was like a, some kind of an arranging class.
It was arranging one.
Arranging one, yeah. I have no idea, really. I mean, my life at that point in Boston is all kind of a blur. At some point, Janik and I were in an arranging class, didn't talk the whole semester, sat on different sides of the room. I think we had a lot of preconceived notions about each other, and then we get out of the final exam at the end of the year, and we're walking down the hallway at the same time, and I sort of made a joke. I was like, so when are we going to hang out? Thinking like, oh, I'd never see this kid again.
You're funny. Jess is the funny guy.
So he called me out on my bullshit, and he was like, do you want to go grab coffee? And it was delightful. So yeah. We started doing that kind of every week as just like a friendly check-in, and I learned more about him and how like beautiful of a artist. At Berkeley, there's a lot of musicians,
yes.
But I think the artistry was something that was unique. And so wanted to play with him, came up with a side hustle for like a GB general business band to do covers and stuff around Boston, and asked him to be my band leader. And that's when it all started, but it kind of spiraled out of control because here we are.
How long ago was that?
That was 2014.
Around
so,
there.
Yeah, almost five, spring 2014. So almost 5 years ago, or a little bit longer, maybe even the first year. I don't know.
Around I have then, no idea. Around.
And yeah, little did I know what I was getting myself into when Jess then asked me to just look at the first song that he wrote for a project that he was excited about.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it on as a class project. I listened to the song that Jess wrote and presented to me, and then I built like an arrangement around it and recorded it in the studios and wrote like a score and as a class project basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Riverstone. That was the first version of our the title track of the upcoming album.
Yeah, everything was, it wasn't, the Riverstone wasn't even a concept, it was just a song at that point. And I worked at a jazz bar downtown in Boston, and he lived right near it. And so after like work, I'd go visit him in his apartment just to sort of unwind and show him things that I had written that week, and have him play it on guitar because I write primarily on piano and wanted to see how that would feel. And he ended up liking one of them, and it was very exciting to have somebody else be excited about it. And so yeah, definitely. And it was fun to see what he brought to the table.
It was a very good deal for me because Jess worked at this jazz club bar. He would always bring over like leftover food from that night. And so
a lot of mac and cheese and wings.
Exactly. Yeah. And wings and fried chicken. So I got to play beautiful songs and was being fed at the same time as a poor college student. That was incredibly appreciated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that type of food. Mm-hmm. That's delicious.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So Riverstone is the album coming out early next year,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
It sounds like the seeds for this record were planted a couple of years ago, and now it's just coming out. Has it evolved over the course of the past couple of years? Have you revisited these songs on different occasions to rework them? What's the process been like leading up to it coming out in about a month or two?
It's been a long road. I think it was only supposed to be like a set of like three or four demos that I was going to move down to Nashville and have. And then we had trouble narrowing down the selection. And he was just like, well, you know, it could just be an album. And that's got things spinning out of control. And then within like 3 to 4 weeks, we were doing kind of like a test run. We went stayed with a couple friends in Vermont, and they let us turn their loft into like a makeshift studio. And we sort of did a trial run, and then we were like addicted to it. But that was years ago. And we had been sort of mixing and adding parts to it for years after that. So like at least a year and a half after that. And a lot of the sound that we ended up on was not where we wanted to start. The idea was that it would be all sort of like simple and organic, but I think we found that our musical tastes are a lot more maximalist. You know, we like a lot of sounds and a lot of textures. And like, for instance, Still Trying to Figure It Out didn't become what it is today with all the vocal effects and everything until the very last mixing session, which we did in Florida. We've sort of had to bounce around with it a little bit.
That was a big thing too. So we did the demos initially, and we then decided that we were going to use those to work with a crowdfunding campaign. And we raised a whole lot of money, like 130% of the goal that we had, which was incredible for us. And it was lovely to have so many people supporting us, and companies were supporting us and sending us stuff. It was really lovely. Twice, actually. Telefunken sent us the...
Telefunken. I see, he's more of the gear geek, but they sent me a really awesome t-shirt.
Funny that you wear to this day.
No, well, I want another one because I lost it. It was one of my favorite t-shirts.
Well, if you're listening, come on.
Telefunken.
Jess is good for it.
I ask for so little.
It's actually so funny because I did talk to a lot of companies and stuff to like figure out, how do we build a studio in just this empty loft, because the second time around we actually rented a cabin in the woods in Vermont and went out there with a couple of friends and again built like a makeshift studio. So I was like, how can we do that, because we definitely don't have enough money to like buy all the stuff on our own. So I talked to companies to give us equipment, and because Jess couldn't benefit from any of it and he wasn't excited about any of it, I also hit up the pen company, you know, Pilot Pen. They do the G2 like blue point ballpoint blue pen.
That's my pen, baby.
And and so I hit them up and I was like, honestly guys, like I've been getting all this gear from other companies and the actual writer of this project doesn't get excited about it. All he wants is pens to write his lyrics. And so they legit sent us like a box full of pens as an endorsement.
I had pens for years after that. That's great.
It was really funny.
Magical.
So anyhow, and then we took all the songs from the recording that we did after the crowdfunding project, and we actually took them around the world. I spent the summer in Germany and I mixed them there a little bit. Was traveling around Europe actually, so I have like pictures of me mixing one of the songs in like France, and then again in Italy, and sending them back to Jess all the time. And it was just a very, very slow but steady chugging away at everything. And we had finished a while ago, so the masters were actually ready, and the CDs were ready over a year and a half ago.
Wow.
And then we decided that we want vinyl because everybody jumped on the vinyl train, and we had the worst experience with with getting those.
Cut to like 500 warped, melted vinyls on my porch, just like filling up my living room, all unusable, just like modern art warped. It was during a heat wave in the summer. Yeah. It was a nightmare.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And usually I found out that like shipping vinyl companies before they ship, they like check on the weather and everything to just make sure the destination or at least the path there is not like crazy. And sometimes they're like, all right, we'll just ship it out a week later because it's literally too hot there right now. This company didn't. And they were all ruined.
And they couldn't fix it because they had made this mistake with a lot of people. So they were really backed up and they literally didn't have the factory space to even reprint these vinyls. So they spent a good deal of time trying to find another factory to print it.
Mm-hmm. It was great.
Oh my gosh. Oh, yeah, so I'm sorry that that happened.
No, it's all good. Now we're here. Now we have all the vinyl. We have
the things you learn.
All the CDs, all the t-shirts, we have everything ready to go. And about 4 or 5 years after we started the first song, we finally have our first single out.
Here we are.
Under the label, and have our first radio show with it, which is so exciting.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Very happy that you're here. Thanks. Talking about the record. Really interesting to hear about your process. I am curious about your creative process, being that Jess lives in Nashville. Janik, you live here in New York City. It also sounds like you were mixing the record in different parts of the world as well. How do you guys keep the chemistry intact when you're apart like that?
Well, I think the cornerstone of it is frequent trips and visiting. And like, because we have gotten really good at working over the wall and sending things to each other via email and giving notes and then having a Skype call about it. Very good at communicating with each other. So it's not, we can be very clear about what we want and where we want it to go. But I think there's something magic about being in the same room and getting to.
Yeah, let's not fool ourselves. There are plenty of ways to work over distance, and nowadays it works beautifully well, and there's many options, but it never works as well as if you would be sitting in the same room and picking up a guitar and reacting to each other's creative juices in the moment.
Because there's a kind of spontaneity to it, whereas, because it feels evaluative, if like, because he sends me something and then you give notes on it, as opposed to being able to be generative and be like, well, that section isn't doing it for me, but what if we added something like this, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's fun to do. But also a luxury of being in the same room.
But we get to do that now.
Yes.
It's very exciting.
Yes, absolutely.
Jess came up for the past 3 weeks, and he's been spending time with me in New York, and we've been working on a next project together, and have been inviting many friends to join, and it has been an eye-opening experience, honestly.
Very exciting. The thing that I really like about this project, when our friend Vanessa sent it to me, is that Jess's lyrics are definitely not an afterthought, for sure. There's a lot of musical projects. I interview bands and stuff. The song will be done and then they're like, okay, I have to come up with the lyrics and stuff like that. But you're also a musician. You're an educated musician. You went to Berkeley and Boston. I know a lot of great musicians who went there as well. What's your process like for writing the lyrics when they're such an important part of the songs that you guys work on?
Yeah, well, for Riverstone, it was definitely music and lyrics at the same time. It was easier for me at that point to sit down at a piano and sort of chug it out and do, you know, the chords and the lyrics and the melody together. And a lot of those were written with, like, central metaphor or an idea in mind, and then trying to convey that musically, and then having, so I would come to the Onyx with these like scaffoldings of songs and be like, well, this is the verse and the pre-chorus and the chorus, and this is the sort of arc, and then it really comes to life in the arrangements. I think emotional enhancement to it, definitely. But you know, I typically write at the piano. Yeah,
it's very interesting because I did study songwriting at Berkeley, for example, but I don't think to this day I wrote a song that I'm proud of, which it's okay, and it was never my goal. It was always my goal to be able to understand songwriters, and I never saw myself as the next, like, you know, Max Martin is someone who writes songs and produces, or I'm not sure if he even writes still, but probably. I always just wanted to be able to take what the songwriter hands to me and turn that into something that they haven't heard yet. Mm-hmm. And with jazz, everything's a 50-50 collaboration, but it's very clear that that he brings the words to the table. There is a clear disadvantage with me not being a native English speaker, which is that the playfulness with words, you know, just I can't quite be there with the fact that I'm learning it as a second language. I'm incredibly comfortable with it, but I never made it a point to be as playful with the language as Jess is or has been. And I really very much enjoy just taking what Jess brings to the table and just catapulting from there and taking it to new arrangements, new worlds, and then Jess gets lyrical ideas from the musical elements that I add, mm-hmm. and we talk about what the song is about and what his inspiration was, and then sometimes I bring my own experience into it, and then his perspective shifts and he mm-hmm. changes the lyrics around. But it really doesn't happen a lot that I contribute to the words. It's really like a very words, story, music production mm-hmm. kind of separation and yeah. collaboration. So,
and I also can't shred on guitar, so we're even. You know, we've been talking a lot about this for the second time around, and you don't know that you're allowed to be whatever you want to be at first, and you sort of see what other people are good at, and you feel bad that you're not also slaying it at those things, and you find yourself specializing in things that maybe are uncommon, and like, but I've come to the point where I'm like, no, I think I use songwriting as an instrument. Like, that's mm-hmm. definitely what I can bring to the table. Obsessed with form and lyrics and poetry and the prosody of all of the melody and the chords. And that's sort of where I obsess. And it's actually kind of really nice because Yannick is so production driven that he can work in the DAW with like Pro Tools and Logic and create worlds immediately without even trying, and so like he sort of gets energized and excited in the back end of the song, and I'm sort of most generative in the beginnings of it, like building mm-hmm. it and making it a bare bones song, and then it's a nice little, you know, kind of teeter-totter that we have going on.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
To not have to be anything other than myself is a great relief, and finding like a nice compliment in Yannick has been very freeing. Yeah. Why would you want to do everything half-assed or shitty, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, I just want to double down on the things that I like.
So, this record's dropping in January, right?
February.
February?
Okay. Yes. Yes.
What can people expect from what I've heard so far? It's got like a folk kind of Southwest vibe as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the songs are all very clear in form and writing and melody. It's a very like songwriter-driven album. Mm-hmm. It has it has an overall beautiful emotional and story arc to it. Mm-hmm. It really tells a story from beginning to end. You tell it better than I do, but it's about the hardening and the softening of the soul, as Jess always says, and it's about the different stages that he went through.
Yeah, and there's a linear sort of narrative to it. It's about like how life can make you jaded, and then how all these joys in your life, like friends and finding new like innocent pure crush loves, and then being ready to tear your walls down to actually like go through it all fucking again. It sort of has that arc and that journey. So like, you know, the opening track we always thought of as a prologue, and the last track we always thought of as an epilogue, and the emotional journey of like losing it all, not knowing what to do, and then your way back to sort of life, and being, the metaphor was, you know, letting those joys smooth you the way the river smooths a stone.
Yeah, song-wise, I mean, as you said, they're all like folk songs, you know, like Americana, folk,
very Americana, yeah.
You know, and Jess loves like Blue Eyed Soul and Southern Rock, so those elements are definitely in there.
Yeah.
But we took those simple forms and as we said, like we realized that we do love like a grand sound. So everything can be broken down to just acoustic guitar, piano, and vocals for the song. But we made it grand. We made it huge and anthemic and
emotional theatrical. Emotional maximalism. That's what we've been calling it.
Perfect.
Boom. Yeah. Coin it. Trademark that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Jess and Janik. All right, let's play the two songs, Riverstone and Louie,
yes,
which just dropped last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell us about this song, Louie. I love it.
This is, you know, it's all going to be okay. That's what this song's about.
And it's an acronym, right?
Yes.
L-U-I-H.
L-U-I-H, laugh until it hurts. And it's a, I mean, Boston was a very, there's a lot of good stories from Boston. And it was a very wonderful, wonderful time in my life. And the feeling that I had at that point in my life, which was when we were making Riverstone, a lot of them are looking back at prior years and actually my life in New York, but Louie was one of the ones that was about the time that we were living in, and just this song is meant to convey how I feel then, and the wildness and the debauchery and the just the pure love that we found with our friends. It's just, yeah.
All right, let's play him. Riverstone, Louie. We'll be back, Jess Adams and Janik.
Yay!
Peace.
We're having fun. Listen to the songs now, though, and then we'll be back. Continue to have fun, listeners. You will while you're listening to these songs. We'll be right back.
I was a jaded bastard, full of jagged words, rough around the edges, scuffed and wild, tough to love, always high but low in chances. You floated in my Roman goddess. My sins you held and washed. You have this way, you hand me hope, like grace was never lost. Pull me in, pull me under, take these brittle bones. Oh, smooth me like a river stone. Move so gently. Oh, smooth me like a river stone. Flow, just flow over me. Flow, just flow over me. So lay me down and say I'm yours, and drown me in your kiss. Oh yeah, capsize this body and baptize the wreck. Please make me more than this. Undertake these brittle bones. Oh, smooth me like a river stone. Move so gently. Oh, smooth me like a river stone. Flow, just flow over me.
Pull me in, pull me under. Pull me in, pull me under.
land. Oh, spoke with me like a river storm, moved so gently. Oh, spoke with me like a river storm. We never had time to give a fuck. Drinking up the night and up at noon, screaming at the sun, lighting with the moon. We traded tears and cigarettes for the kind of nights you don't forget. We're going down in history, brother, going down, still victory. Laugh until it hurts. We're gonna love until it doesn't. We're gonna laugh until it hurts. Oh, we're gonna love like it is nothing. We're gonna love like we've got nothing to lose at all. So torch the fucking fire escapes and break the clocks before we're late. Dance embarrassed on the roof, making love to a skyline view. We're gonna laugh until it hurts. We're gonna love until it doesn't. We're gonna laugh until it hurts. We're gonna love like it's nothing. We're gonna love like we've got nothing to lose at all. We're young and shameless. And they wanna change us, yeah, they wanna change us. But I wouldn't change us. Us. Yeah, they wanna change us, but I wouldn't change a thing. Come on! We're gonna laugh until it hurts. We're gonna love until it doesn't. We're gonna laugh until it hurts. We're gonna love like it's nothing.
People, we're back. We heard two songs by Jess and Janik, Riverstone and Louie, off of your forthcoming album. What's exactly. the name of the album?
Riverstone.
Riverstone.
It is, yeah, yeah. Riverstone was coming out in early 2020.
On a Diamond Heart production, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah.
Vanessa Silberman, our mutual friend,
and
her label.
Rock star, yeah.
She really is.
Yeah. She's a rock star.
When I interviewed her on the show, all I could say at first was, you do everything, it seems like.
It's insane.
You're a musician, you're a producer, you work in the music industry on the other side as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could do it all.
You meet her and you get the impression that you're like, one, I know you have your shit together. Two,
yeah, totally.
I know you could trash a hotel room like nobody
yeah.
else.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right.
Yes. And convince the manager it's their fault somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like a refund. This hotel room
is a good person
trashed.
To have on your side.
Exactly. And please buy a record for me. Can I come next year to play at your hotel?
All right. You guys picked some records from my record collection.
Absolutely.
And I'm stoked to play them. Lots of good ones here. Starting out with David Bowie, Space Oddity. Jonik, you were telling me you work with Tony Visconti, which is fucking amazing.
Yes, yeah. It is. It is really unreal, honestly. Every day I walk into his studio and he's actually there. It's just it's just wild. And so he has a studio in the production company that I work in. And it started out as me just helping him with some tech stuff, and because he needed, you know, assistance with his studio and Pro Tools stuff. And then we got along super well, and I started becoming his assistant. And on the during the last year, and really our first big thing together was working on the David Bowie Space Oddity remixes, which at this point, the title track, 50th anniversary remix version, has dropped already.
Wow.
It came out. And it's so cool because it's now all in real stereo. And all the, we went into the old tapes and removed all the tape hiss and cleaned everything up. And it was, it's just magical.
It really is. It's something really incredible to work on and listen to master tapes from a David Bowie recording. It's really incredible.
It's really humbling because, you know, back in the day and still nowadays you don't really record with like autotune or anything like onto the tape, so it's everything's raw and these tapes are pre-mixed, right? So no reverb is added or anything. It's just the real room, and there are these outtakes of like Bowie just like going nuts on the microphone, you know? And I wish I could play them here, but it's just so funny because you realize it's just some dude who also just was trying to find himself musically and was trying to have fun with it all.
Fun is palpable.
Yeah, yeah.
You hear some of these outtakes and you're like, man, that sounds like a playground.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. One very interesting thing to me on Space Oddity was a track called Letter to Hermione, which is just this, it's three guitars, two acoustic guitarists who are just playing fills on either side, and then it's Bowie with his 12 string and vocals in the middle. And we had a lot of trouble with that because we didn't have specific takes. Tapes for that track. We only had the master, so we had to figure out how to like separate the side guitars and make them individual channels, and then separate the 12-string guitar from his vocals, which is also relatively tricky because 12-string guitar basically sits in every range.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's kind of what they're
meant to be,
do,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so that was just a very I spent a lot of time on that trying to figure that out, and so that really got ingrained into my brain. And yeah, that's part of the reason why I picked this record, because it was such a big thing of 2019 for me, and I think a very, very great start into something special for me.
Beautiful. Next up, Rolling Stone, Sticky Fingers, one of my favorite records.
Yes.
By the legendary band.
Mm-hmm.
Love the zipper on the cover. I have a copy with the actual zipper.
Is it? Cool. Did they do that?
Yeah.
Oh shit! I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
It has a real zipper on it.
Oh my god!
It's those little things that make all the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It turns something that could be just something that's on your bookshelf to something that is like on the shelf because you want people to see it.
Yeah, you
know?
You want to show it to your friends.
And the thoughtfulness of it, I think, when a band thinks about the packaging of their music, it shows that they care about it like that. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Totally.
So So, yeah, the Sticky Fingers record is also one that I picked. Jess didn't grow up with it too much, but my dad showed me the Rolling Stones and any, like, generally, like, Brit rock and also American classic rock quite a lot. And they're part of the reason why I started liking making music, or started having the idea of, like, mm-hmm. all right, I really would love to do what they do somehow, or at least create. And
when I met Yannick, I knew him as a blues guitarist, like a blues rock guitarist.
Yeah. And the Stones were just, I mean, just so bloody badass, you know, there's no excuses. And I remember, like, when I was 13 and I was in Berlin, like, in the summertime in front of some restaurant playing Wild Horses and singing to it, you know. Yeah.
I do Wild Horses at karaoke.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everybody sings along, and it's a bit high, but it's not too hard to sing.
Yeah.
And the guitar stuff is so beautiful. It's just a cool record, very very melodic and badass at the same time.
Awesome. Cool. Mm-hmm. Up next, Amy Winehouse, Back to Black.
That record changed my life.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I didn't grow up with a lot of pop music. I was, like, knee deep in musical theater at the time. Like, I was in my high school bedroom jamming out to Jesus Christ Superstar, and I thought I was punk rock, you know. Yes. But when I grew up and, you know, went to college and left the world, and there was a whole world of music that I didn't know about, and I heard in, like, it was like 2006, 2007, Back to Black, and the rawness of this, right? That somebody could tell their story in such a vulnerable and true way and have it not be theater, that just raw musical emotion. And I think what I wouldn't give to hear what another album from her would be, you know, like, she's one of the ones where I'm like, oh man.
And it's a tragedy. Mm-hmm. It's an absolute tragedy.
Where would she have, gone amazing places. Yeah. Like, I think it would have gotten real weird too.
Yeah.
Which would have been wonderful.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine her at 50.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. 50 Amy. Oh, crazy.
Next, mm-hmm. we have what song would you like to hear, actually?
From
Amy Winehouse.
I think Rehab is my favorite.
Hell
one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so, the foreboding.
Very.
Yeah. 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 Let's do that.
And next, we have our friend Vanessa Silberman, Brighter in Bloom.
Yes.
Her new EP. It's out on vinyl, everyone. Go get it. It's good.
It's
owned
great.
It on vinyl.
It's great.
How'd you guys connect with Vanessa, by the way?
She actually came to Tony. She moved to New York about, let's say, half a year
ago. Yeah, maybe. 6 months ago, I think.
And I think she somehow knew Tony probably through Studio 606 out in L.A. And then they worked together on a couple of things where she assisted, and Tony introduced us, and then I got along super well with Vanessa. I was very excited to have a female engineer around, because there are too few, and she's brilliant, and she is such a self-made woman that I was just super excited about her energy, and she is just such a good hang, and mm-hmm. we went to get a coffee together and like tried to figure out how we could, you know, join our world somehow.
Yeah.
And then first I was actually very excited about Jess to meet her, because mm-hmm. I thought, well, she has a label and Jess does social media marketing for artists, maybe mm-hmm. they could somehow work together. And I didn't even put together the fact that we're artists and we need a label.
So, you're so blind sometimes, you know.
Yeah. And so we started talking about it, and once we showed Vanessa our record, she was really into it. And but overall, she's just such a cool person and very genuine and mm-hmm. energetic and fun.
Yeah.
And her music is so badass too.
Yeah, she's a great musician, great songwriter.
Great songwriter. Like I mean, her, it's deceivingly simple, right? Like the couplets that she comes up with are like these clean little lines that you don't even know are hitting you until like you're already like shot through the chest with mm-hmm. them. They're brilliant.
Yeah, and very clean, as you said, and at the same time super grungy in her mm-hmm. singing and playing. At her, it was so cool. So I went to her EP release show at Modern Vice, mm-hmm. and she legit just grabbed her guitar, plugged in a cable straight into the mixing board. No effects, not even wow. tune or anything. It was just no sound check. It was just like, is it on? And somebody was like, yeah, sure. And then she started playing.
Wow.
And just no adjustments. She just did the show. Like if there were things that bothered her about the sound, she didn't say it and she didn't care. She was just doing it, which to me is such a,
baller.
It shows of such confidence, and the fact that she, you know, like I think she told me in the last 4 years she played like 700 shows or something,
yeah,
like ridiculous,
mm-hmm. yeah,
beast,
and yeah, you just see that with everything she does. It's just experience and no cutting corners. Mm-hmm.
We keep trying to find a time to get her in to collaborate on this next project.
Yeah. I would want to see that. Mm-hmm. I want to see that.
It'll happen.
Totally. We're playing them now.
Go on this
journey. We've got David Bowie, Rolling Stones, Amy Winehouse, our friend Vanessa Silverman. We'll be back.
The hand that wrote this letter sweeps the pillow clean. So rest your head and read a treasured dream. I care for no one else but you. I tear my soul to cease the pain. I think maybe you feel the same. What can we do? I'm not quite sure what we're supposed to do. So I've been writing just for you. They say your life is going very well. They say you sparkle like a different girl. But something tells me that you hide. When all the world is warm and tired, you cry a little in the dark. Well, so do I. I'm not quite sure what you're supposed to say, but I can see it's not okay. He makes you laugh, he brings you out in style. He treats you well and makes you up real fine. And when he's strong for you. And when you kiss, it's something new. But did you ever call my name just by mistake? I'm not quite sure what I'm supposed to do. So I'll just write some love to you. I can't let you slide through my hands. Why horses couldn't grant me the to show me the same. No sweet thing exists. Oh, off stage lines could make me feel bitter.
They tried to make me go to rehab. I said no, no, no. Yes, I've been black, but when I come back, no, no, no. I ain't got the time, and if my daddy thinks I'm fine, they tried to make me go to rehab. I won't go, go.
school but got a future. No need to change my plan. Quit my job, traveling roads.
My records on Radio Free Brooklyn Community Radio, broadcast from the Bushwick section of Brooklyn. Radio Free Brooklyn is a 501c3 nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a free and open platform to our community and promote media literacy, education, and free expression. We rely primarily on donations from listeners like you, so if you'd like to support our mission, you can make a one-time donation or monthly pledge at radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate. No donation is too big or too small. And again, we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, so your contribution is tax deductible to the fullest extent of the law. Again, that is radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate. While you're there, you can sign up for our newsletter to be in the know about new programming, upcoming RFB events, interviews, ticket giveaways, special offers on RFB swag, and more. Sign right up, radiofreebrooklyn.org/newsletter. And if you're listening on the internet, you could also take RFB with you on the go via our Apple and Android apps. You can download them at radiofreebrooklyn.org/iPhone and radiofreebrooklyn.org/Android for the Android app.
And finally, after more than a year of dreaming, researching, experimenting, late night conference calls, and early Saturday morning meetings, the Me team is happy and proud to present to you the Me Bottle. This double insulated reusable stainless steel bottle disinfects water in a 60-second cycle, utilizing UVC LED technology, and is 99.9% effective against E. coli. A single charge via micro USB lasts up to 30 days, and the bright LED display lets you know when water is ready to drink. Join us in bringing clean water to all. Raise your bottle and drink to you and me. Find out more at mebottle.com. And now back to Look at My Records.
All right, we're back. We heard David Bowie, Rolling Stones, Amy Winehouse, Vanessa Silverman. Back with Jess and Janik.
Hello, hello.
Hey.
Guys, it's been a pleasure hanging out with you. I had so much fun.
Thank you.
This is a lot of fun.
Popping our cherry.
That's why we're doing it.
Can't wait to hang out again.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, we'd love to.
Can't wait to see you guys play live. I'm sure you'll be playing live in New York at some point
in the future.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll let you know so you can tell it to all your listeners. And thank you so much for having us on here. We were just talking about it. It's Jess did radio shows with
some theater shows
He was on, and I did like one or two in Germany, like way back. But this is like the first real official, like under big album that's coming out, and in America, a radio show in New York. I'm like, yeah. it's super exciting. So thank you so much for taking the time and having us.
Super very stoked. Very happy you guys are here. I'm honored to be your first radio appearance.
Yeah.
I'm glad it was all able to work out. The record is coming out in February. Is there an exact date?
We're shooting for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So perfect.
Yes.
And it's called Riverstone, and it'll be available on vinyl.
It'll be available on vinyl, on CD, on all streaming, as always.
Everywhere,
And you can like even get like a little bonus packages with us, where it's like handwritten poems or hand typed poems of the album.
And we
album.
Have online online experience stuff. Attached to it.
Love the online experience.
It's called the Existential Road Trip, and you can get the whole album
for free.
And every day you get like behind the scenes bonus content and like where the song started, and there's like a whole narration.
Oh my gosh,
it's great. Fun times.
This is amazing. This is 2020. This is 2020
baby.
Shit,
yeah.
Man.
Yes,
this is the 20s. This is this the type is of the stuff 20s. You get in 2020.
Yes.
So, everyone, look forward to next year where you'll hear this great record. Can't wait for it. Guys, where's the best place for people to find more information about you guys? You have a great Instagram, Jess Adams.
At Jess Adams Grams, yeah.
And tell us where people can learn more about you right now.
JessAdams.com.
JessAdams.com, excellent.
And Instagram. On Instagram and
poetry basically every day.
Yeah, and Jess
a lot of poetry. Yeah.
If you ask some questions, and we're actually starting our own little podcast thing called
Great.
Porch Nights Live.
Porch Night Live, baby.
And it's every Thursday at 10 p.m. EST, and it's just Jess and I hanging out, and also getting other artists on it, and
looking
just
for other indie bands who are doing the hustle,
cool.
Just to kind of like enjoy the ride a little bit with them and support them and get their stuff out there too.
So yes, and until the album is out, just keep listening to Louis.
Let's do it.
Keep it on repeat, Louis.
On repeat always.
There you go. You guys, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you,
everyone. We'll see you next week, where my guest will be my friend Mike Tarnovsky from the band Edna.
Edna, yay.
Peace.
Hell yeah.